Today is Transitions Tuesday on Mind Talk. I am your host, Dr. Pamela Brewer. Mind Talk is the show that provides you with relationship health and mental health information every day. And on Transitions Tuesday, we focus on all things related to the many different kinds of transitions we all have occasion to experience in our lives.
And allow me to introduce you to today's guest. Her name is Tiffany Papageorge, and Tiffany is the author of My Yellow Balloon. Now, folks, you know, it's really not very often that I talk about a children's book here on Mind Talk, but this is a children's book that really sort of spans the ages, if you will, and I think that young and old, it is a book that teaches us about healing. This particular book, My Yellow Balloon, focuses on children, how they grieve, and how they begin to heal. Tiffany Papageorge, thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Mind Talk.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I really am excited to be here.
Well, Tiffany, you know, when I first looked at your book, my initial reaction was, okay, this is for kids, and you know, Mind Talk is for adults, so I don't really need to take a look at this. And then I looked at it, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is actually kind of for everybody. It's absolutely written for children, but it's kind of a reminder to adults as well. You've written a book about childhood grief. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, initially, I was assigned this book as a ninth grade English assignment by a very courageous teacher who did a death and dying unit.
In ninth grade? Wow.
Yeah. And for me, I was a grieving child, and I had been through just great numbers of losses by that age, both in people dying and a really hard divorce from my parents, and there was just a lot of loss. So for a child like me, this assignment was a real creative invitation to explore and talk about something that I had experienced. And for other children who hadn't experienced anything yet, it was an introduction. And so the beginning of the story came to me I like to say it was like a mind movie. And it was more than a daydream. And I was playing on the floor of my little brother Joey's bedroom with him. And at the time, he was a year and a half old, and my mom's later in life baby from another marriage, and my first son in a way. And I was playing with him, and the entire beginning came to me, and I saw it like a movie. And I put him in the high chair, and I gave him a cookie, and I wrote it. And because the assignment was to write a children's book explaining death to them, you know, I had the whole beginning of the story, and then I went into kind of like a very literal 14-year-old, you know, kind of frame of mind, and never really liked the ending, but it fulfilled the assignment, and I turned it in, and my teacher worked for 2 years to publish the book, so I knew it was really special. And then I went on with my life, and I'm an actor and was, you know, doing my acting and going to grad school and going off to London. And I carried this little book with me everywhere, thinking that someday I would work on it. And the day came 24 years later when I had a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old son, both sons, and my daughter wasn't born yet. And we had gone to the park to play, and we were there for about 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden, I realized I forgot a diaper, and we had to leave immediately. And they were screaming and yelling and raising all kinds of just, and I felt so bad, and I'm throwing them in the car and trying to make them, you know, better promises and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm at a stop sign and not thinking about this at all. Mm-hmm. And the entire ending flooded through me, and I got chills all over my body. And I pulled the car over, and I knew what I had seen. It was just so profound to me that I tried to find a piece of paper, and no diaper, no pad of paper, and I wrote it on a deposit slip.
Oh,
and that
my.
Was the ending of the book. So that has been a good 7 years, and I've been working in earnest on it ever since. And so that's why I wrote it. When I was young, we didn't have grief centers that we knew of or support. And I come from a big fat Greek family. So one of the great things about Greek people is we know how to feel and we know how to grieve, but that can be very terrifying to a child.
Absolutely.
And so I wish I would have had this when I was little. Well, to be able to help me through it.
And you know, the other thing that I think about is that so many times adults really don't have the concept that children can actually grieve. I mean, they recognize that older teens might grieve, but somehow a lot of times adults think that adults grieve in an adult way and that before adulthood you kind of just don't have the same feelings. And that's not true at all. I wonder if you could just give us a little synopsis of what My Yellow Balloon is all about. And then I'd like to go into some more detail about children and grief. But tell us about this little yellow balloon.
So My Yellow Balloon is a metaphor, and it's a real experience when you read it, in the physical form especially. It's incredibly soft to the touch, which I really wanted to make it that way because at a time of loss, whatever the loss, you know, a friend moving away, a dog or a pet dying, a grandparent, a parent, any kind of loss at all, a divorce, things can feel really sharp and really bright. So the cover is very soft, and also the cover is very three-dimensional, and as much as we could make it. And the reason for that is I really want people to know that if we don't soothe our children's feelings and our feelings away, mm-hmm. and we feel them and we go through our process, that we will all become more dimensional human beings, richer, deeper human beings. And so there's this little boy, and the year is 1930. And the reason that's significant is because before 1930, balloons were on sticks. And he goes to the carnival with his parents, and he's so excited. He runs through, and he sees something he's never seen before, and it's these amazing floating balloons. And he's just mesmerized, and he goes up to the balloon man and wants a balloon, and the balloon man says, which one? And he can't even pick. He's just overwhelmed, and the balloon man knows exactly who he needs, and he gives him this bright yellow balloon. And the balloon man is also very metaphorical. You know, who is it for any one of us that ties us all together, you know, whether it's fate, destiny, the universe, God, whatever you want it to be, it, you know, there is something. You don't know who that wet, beautiful baby is on your belly, but the balloon man knows, you know, when you first have them. And
we all kind of have a balloon man.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, he gets his balloon. They play together every day, and then one day the balloon slips off his wrist and gets away. And at that point, it really takes one through the process. You know, from the minute that the balloon slips off his wrist, the book completely shifts in orientation because loss is disorienting.
Right.
And then it starts unfolding because loss is unfolding. And then the color drains. And my idea about that was, you know, when I was little, I remember I think I was about 4, and I heard the adults around me saying that I was depressed, and that box I carried with me most of my life. And so I wanted to be able to tell a child, you know, things look different right now, but they're going to look different again, you know, which is really what being very sad or depressed is. It just looks very different. And so the color is gone, and then slowly as he goes through the grief process, the color comes back, and color is a huge element in my book until the end when he has his catharsis, which is really transformative for all of us. And so we go from innocent color at the beginning, color that's known no pain, to loss of color, to full-blown amazing color with shadow and light. And it's just amazing color because we never see anything again the same way,
right?
But we see it deeper. So that's a little synopsis.
You know, they're so, the visuals are so rich, not only in the way they look, I mean, because the artwork is really lovely, but just in the thought that you put into the visuals to give readers of all age, sort of that unspoken reminder of all of these stages that you just described. I wonder if for you as that little four-year-old, when you heard people saying you were depressed, do you think they were right?
Yeah, I had gone through a major loss at that point. That was my first real brush with major loss. And I think I really, was very, very sad and didn't mm-hmm. know, it was a very dark place that, I was not prepared for, as we usually aren't.
Right.
And so I think that was probably accurate, but, I heard the word and I didn't understand it. And as I grew to understand it, it really felt like, wow, I'm really prone to depression. I've had it since I was four. You just kind of feel like, wow, this is yours forever. It's just deep sadness, because it's normal to feel sad when you lose someone or something very, very profound to you. But I think that this is a really great way to show it and say, hey, I get where you're at, but things will get better and it will come around again. And, the seasons teach us that, spring, summer, and then it starts dying in the fall and it's dead in the winter, but it comes mm-hmm. back again. So many things teach us the life, death, life cycle. And so it's really important, I think, to children to understand that it will come back around again and it's okay.
Another thing that's important for adults, I think, to remember for ourselves as well as for the children we may come in contact with is that everybody has a grief experience at some point or another. And you can't necessarily determine for someone else what their experience of grief is.
Right.
And that's, a lot of times for adults, we have the tendency to think that we know everything, right? Because we do, right? Unless you ask a child who is pretty clear that we know absolutely nothing. But this idea that a child could have the experience of grief and it could be as overwhelming for a child as could be the loss for an adult really is something that I'm not sure that as adults we always know. And there may be a lot of reasons for that. Nobody wants a child to be in pain. And so the thought that a child could have that kind of pain is something that you don't really want to think about.
Right. And what's really fascinating, I just remember as I was a kid, and I've heard this from grief workers along the way, that kids are the forgotten grievers. Mm-hmm. And we think that they're not listening and we think that they don't hear what's happening and we kind of talk as if they somehow don't get it, but they are all ears. And especially when it's concerning something serious, they are taking it in. And the other thing about a child, whether it's a divorce or a death or something that's happening, if the parent is suffering or going through something, very often the kid will feel somehow responsible.
Yes.
Or that they need to take care of the grown-up. Mm-hmm. And so, they grieve, and yet they also feel the burden of having to take care of, who's around them. And so, my hope is that as people are reading this book, and I am getting feedback that it's helping, that they can actually use it as a tool in their families to be able to talk about their feelings and use it I'm here today. There's a part of the book that talks about being sad all of the time and then most of the time and uh-huh. then a lot of the time and then some of the time. And I've had parents write in saying it's so wonderful because I can just say to them, hey, I'm having an all of the time day, and they get it, and vice versa. And
right.
they can use a language with one another to really share where they're at.
Which enriches the experience of connection for both the child and the adult in extraordinary ways. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, I'd like to begin to go through some of the various ways in which some of the various events that children might see as a time of grief that adults may blow off or not even notice is important to their child at all. This is Pamela Brewer. You're listening to Mind Talk, having a conversation with Tiffany Papageorge, author of My Yellow Balloon, a wonderful book for all ages. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is Pamela Brewer, and we're continuing to talk about the experience of childhood grief, the fact of it, and what adults can do to help facilitate a child's healing. Tiffany, just before the break, I asked about the various kinds of events that might pop up in a child's life, that a child might actually have some significant grief experiences over that may not even occur to an adult. Can you think of any?
Yeah, you know, I can think of one in particular, a friend moving away.
Ah, yes.
That causes a lot of grief and you know, very often I did it as a parent with my oldest son, just thought, oh yeah, it's sad and everything, but really experienced him acting out and not understanding what was happening until finally we got to the bottom of it, that this was really profound loss for him. You know, and hopefully for a child, it is incremental. It's, you know, the loss of a tooth and the loss of a toy and the loss of their pacifiers, and it's all incremental until, you know, you get to the loss of a pet or whatever, and it builds up to something really profound. But a lot of children don't have that luxury of having little experiences along the way until the big one. There's also the experience of, I've experienced it with my kids, that, you know, it's the loss of, it usually hits at the beginning of the following school year when they really start missing their old teacher. And they don't know the new teacher yet. And that seems like a very small thing, but I've noticed in my kids and others around us that seems to be a moment when, you know, we kind of, you know, think it's all happy and it's exciting because we're going on to the new, but, you know, it could arouse some feelings of, you know, loss, homesickness, whatever that is for what was, you know, so there's all kinds of things, and I think life is made up of them. Mm-hmm. You know, aging for us is in some ways a yellow balloon, and same with our children. I had, you know, my daughter was like going to be 4, and she cried for 2 weeks. She didn't want to be 4. She wanted to stay 3. And this was really, you know, a big deal to her. And so we, you know, pulled up all of her 3-year-old pictures and, you know, really looked at them and talked about them and enjoyed them. And I said, and guess what? We're going to have all these pictures when you're 4 that we get to look at next year. And she kind of got the concept of, oh, you know, it's going to go on. It's going to, there's more to come. So, you know, their little minds and hearts and souls, their big souls, are processing all the time. And I think that we all, I mean, why do we get so nostalgic at the holidays? And you hear those Christmas carols and you remember your own childhood, and that's a loss. You know, even if it's not, you know, a death, life is changing all the time.
Exactly.
And every single one of them is a loss. You know, our kids, there was one woman that read the book that cried so hard in my arms, I thought something really tragic happened to her family, and was so scared to ask or to hear. And she told me that It was the Empty Nest Syndrome book, and she was going through Empty Nest Syndrome, mm-hmm. and it hit her very profoundly. And I think that is the power of this story, is that as I wrote a children's book, and I really realized that moment in the car that it was no longer a book that explained death to children, but mm-hmm. that it was a book that really talks to our feelings and feeling our feelings, and that going through our life experience will transform us, and we will have an amazing transcendence to the next as we go through our life experience. But, you know, there was, you know, a man that also shared and was very hit by the book, and mm-hmm. his yellow balloon, as he called it, my yellow balloon is my music, mm-hmm. and I lost it when I had my stroke, and I can no longer play my music. So whatever, you know, there's so many losses right. that we don't talk about as Americans, and
That's
we don't
true.
Share, and we don't share as kids. There was one little girl at a school that I spoke at that asked me if she could tell me what she lost. And this one chokes me up every time. And what she'd lost is her breakfast and her dinners. Mm. And her mom had lost her job, and she only got to eat at school. And she was very, very hungry, she said. So there's all kinds of losses. A parent being deployed, a parent being incarcerated, an older sibling going away to school. You know, an older sibling, I know when I left, my little brother Joey was only 14, and I moved away and got married, and that was a profound loss for him. So it just, even though it was a happy thing, it's a loss.
And I think that the more we can talk to ourselves and our children at all ages, the more prepared we are to really live the life that we're in. And I think that possibly the less angry and the less acting out we would all be if we were in a different way, if we had a different way of understanding loss. A 2-year-old, your 3-year-old didn't want to lose 3. I understand this. You know, a 2-year-old might not want to lose a favorite train or baby doll or toy. And as adults, I know I keep coming back to this, but I think it's so critical that as adults, it's so important for us to recognize that we can't determine for somebody else, including a child, what their loss is. We really need to be curious about how they see their world and what they see as a loss and what they think about the loss that they've sustained. So many times, I think that's the difference in how people heal. You talked about with your son acting out, missing his teacher, and when you figured out what was going on, you were able to do something different with him, and he was able to, was it losing his teacher or a friend moving away?
His friend moving away.
And you were able to really do something about it. And, you know, there are so many parents who will say, your friend's moving away. People move. You know, you'll have a play date in 3 months. Don't worry about it. And don't understand that is barely touching the surface of what that child is feeling.
Well, it's such a great opportunity to open up and talk about things because, you know, this is it's a great learning opportunity because loss is going to be there all the time.
Exactly.
I mean, as we talk about, I often think about, and this is such a great time of year to do that, it's like just reflecting on the year, reflecting on what has happened or what is in the future that we don't know is going to happen, and really cherishing the present moment. And so if it's such a great opportunity, every one of these is a great opportunity to speak to our kids and talk to them because it is a life process. And you think about it. I have seen under 2-year-olds take to my book like you cannot believe. And I kept thinking, what is it? I know this child. I know they haven't really had any loss. And it hit me one day that, you know, for 9 months, we are in our mother's womb, and it is our entire home. It is everything to us. We know nothing different. we're pulled out. We have, you know, big things we need to learn, like breathing and eating and, you know, all this stuff. And it's bright and it's dry and it's a whole new world. And we never get to mourn our entire planet for the entire beginning of our lives. We don't remember it. We don't talk about it. We don't experience any, we don't even think about it. But it is a part of us, and it is there. It is imprinted on us. And the very first experience we have is one of loss. And for every loss, there's a new beginning also. So they do go hand in hand. And you don't have loss without love.
Right.
You know, so if a child is experiencing loss, it's because they loved. And so don't we want our children to love and ourselves to love? And, you know, and yet it flies in the face of what we're here to do, which is to protect them, for goodness sake, and have them not feel bad. But it is a huge learning moment.
And I would say it's a strengthening, and it's an empowering moment, because if you really think about the notion of protecting your children, part of protecting them is providing them with tools, not taking tools away from them. And so if you don't talk to your children about this kind of thing, you're not affording them the opportunity to access tools that really are a very critical part of their lives and their well-being for their lifetime.
Yeah, it's a wonderful moment, and it is a very bonding moment.
Yes.
There's you know, even with friends and family, there was a man that we know that read my book and started crying, and I said, oh, you know, I go, don't worry about it, that seems to happen a lot. And he said, he didn't say anything, and at the end of it, he really broke down and let us know that his son is going through a drug addiction, and that he and his wife have completely alienated themselves from their friends because they don't want their friends to know about it.
Mm.
And then he called me later and said, will you sign? I just ordered 20 books for my friends. And I said, will you come and sign them? And I said, sure. And he said, it's time we start talking. It's time we all start talking. It's time we all start sharing. And what a beautiful opportunity it is for he and his wife to be supported, and what a beautiful opportunity it is for their friends to support them.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so it's really beautiful. You know, it's a really beautiful thing to be able to support one another and to reach out when we need it.
And quite frankly, to embrace the fullness of really what it means to be human. There's lots of joy in being human, but there are lots of challenges, not lots of joy and lots of challenges. And we can negotiate them with tools. And I would say that being able to talk to yourself and to your child about the tools that you can draw on as you sustain your own, we're calling it loss, but really it's change, isn't it? I mean, you know, one person is here and that changes and they're not, or one doll is here and that changes and it's not, but then there's something else, as you say in your book, there's something else that comes along. There's something else that may not be the same, but there is, but life continues. And I think that's the, that's one of the important messages of your book, that things do go on. As painful as they are, they really do begin to get better and feel better and be better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're, you know, there's never a part in the book where I say it's gone all of the time. You know, it's always some of the time. But we find a way, to, you know, by dealing with it and acknowledging it, there is this amazing door that opens that it can become integrated into us. If we fight it, it is separate from us. And what I mean by that is, Joey comes to the epiphany that they're together forever and ever.
Mm.
Because of that love. There is this, it's different, but they're together forever. And And I think that when you come to that point, you can integrate it into you instead of shoving it away or soothing it where it doesn't find its, it doesn't settle. Right. It doesn't have anywhere to settle within us.
Tiffany, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'd like to start off with talking about talking to those parents who believe that if there is a significant loss, that you really shouldn't talk to your child about it at all, particularly the younger children. Folks, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will continue with today's conversation. This is Pamela Brewer, and you're listening to Mind Talk. Folks, we're back, and we continue the conversation with Tiffany Papageorge. Tiffany, to the parents who are adamant that depending on the nature or the severity of the loss, that they should not tell their children about it at all, just never talk about it. I'm thinking about perhaps a family member who has suffered a violent death, or a family member or a friend who has a terminal illness, and the parent's view is that it will just depress my child to talk about this, or it'll frighten my child to talk about this. I don't want to scare my child. I'm not going to talk about it. What do you say to those parents with that perception?
Well, I actually had an experience with this. My little brother had a son that that they knew in utero was not going to most likely be very healthy, and they were holding out hope that, that he would be. And then he was born, and he ended up having a syndrome that very few kids get, and his life expectancy was very short, and he had a three-year-old daughter at the time.
Mm.
And so this little boy only lived 5 weeks, and their whole goal was to get him out of the ICU, and even if it would shorten his life by days, they felt like he needed to feel the wind in his hair and to be out of there. And they got, you know, they got that, and he died at home much sooner than they thought he would. And they never really prepared Theodora at all for that, thinking that they would. And, you know, mm-hmm. and it's all well-meaning. Parents, all of us need to cut each other a lot of slack.
Absolutely.
Because, you know what, we are just all doing the best we can. And there's no manual that comes with that baby. and we just love them. You know, it's very hard. So if the family's being hit with something very tragic and very hard, this would be my advice from my own personal family experiences. A, you know, be as honest as you can with your child on their level. Not on your level, you know, as an adult, but on their level. They don't need to know the nitty-gritty.
Okay.
But I would think that they, on their level, you are as honest as possible, because that honesty, over time, they're going to know throughout their life that when they come to you, you are going to be able to share with them, and, mm-hmm. and they will be able to trust you. They will know. Kids can, more than anybody in the world, kids can smell baloney more than anybody else. And, you know, the more honest and real you can be on a childlike level, the better. The other thing I would really, really encourage is that you see seek out help. There are so many amazing people that know exactly how to coach you and help you through it and help your child through it. There are all kinds of wonderful grief centers in your area, and their services are largely free, or just by donation or whatever. They can refer you to therapists that can help you, because this is not an easy time,
right,
and we all need help through things like this. And love, honesty on their level, and let them know that it is okay. It's okay that you cry. It's okay that you cry together. It's really great to keep the dialogue going, because they're going to know. They're going to hear. They're going to know. It's really important that they hear it from you in a way that they can digest it. And then know that later on, the questions about it will get, you know, more as they're ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
Let them lead the conversation and be okay with that. Let them, because they really are pretty good at asking for what they're ready for. And then just do it in an age-appropriate way.
I think that's
my advice.
That's such an important piece, that kids are pretty ready in asking for what they can tolerate.
Yeah.
They kind of know. A lot of times I think all of us are guilty at one point or another of not realizing the fullness of a child's awareness, and just assuming that there isn't any, or that there's so much less than there in fact is. For the parent who perhaps is, let's say, grieving the loss of a relationship, and they're just knee deep in tears, what mm-hmm. feels like all day, every day. They don't want to go to their child in tears. They don't want to scare their child with their grief. But, you know, maybe they think they should tell their child something. Is it important to hide their own grief as they talk to their child?
I don't think so. I think grief is a human emotion, and to see an adult cry is, I think it's, you don't want to do it in a way that's going to terrify them or scare them or, whatever. You're going to try to not do that in front of them. But, you know, if your heart is breaking, I think it's okay to cry in front of your child. I think that is, because what's the message the other way? To hold it in,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not let them see it is, they mirror us, you know.
Right.
And so maybe one day your child's going through something really awful and they're in high school and they have now learned from you not to show it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think that you need to be, it's hard in a moment of deep grief to be aware, but try to be as much as possible. And that's where getting help comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that if you can share that with a family, I do know as a family of many profound losses, and I mean like extended cousins and you know, my whole family, not just my nucleus family. You know, our losses brought us all very close together. And so there is this amazing kind of gift that comes from grieving as a family together. There comes a real sense of strength and closeness. So I wouldn't be afraid of that. But definitely, once again, as the grown-up in the room,
mm-hmm.
you know, make sure that you're aware of the way, you know, and ask and share and, you know, make it an experience that you're having together, not one where you're spewing on the child, you know, like
right.
it's just like
yeah.
you're not leaning on the child, you're sharing the moment with the child.
That's critical too, not to lean, because as you said earlier, it's very true that children very often take responsibility for things that are absolutely not theirs, and then they've got that burden as well.
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, often with a sense of loss, you not only are you grieving and missing that thing, that reality, that person, that experience, but you may also be angry that it's gone. And a lot of times, I think folks, children and adults, have a hard time acknowledging that there is anger interlaced in their grief, and they think that that's not okay.
Yeah, yeah, and it's more than okay. It is so incredibly normal to be angry that we've lost something that was really, really important to us and special to us and a part of us. So that's very normal, and I put that right in the book. Joey felt angry. You know, the other thing is to give kids, especially the little ones, to give them words. You know, sometimes the emotion is so big they don't even know what they're feeling.
Right.
And so to give them words, are you feeling angry? You know, are you feeling frustrated? Yeah, that's what they can, all of a sudden, you know, if you give them the word, they can explain how they're feeling. And I think that it's important to really, I mean, this is just coming to me, but loving kindness to you as parents and grandparents, mm-hmm. and aunts and uncles and teachers and caregivers, really loving kindness to you as you help the children around you, because this is not for the faint of heart. And
indeed,
yeah,
it is. It's not at all for the faint of heart. The fear that sometimes folks have around even broaching the idea of loss. It's for many of us, I think there's this tendency to think about loss as something that only happens in a given concrete moment. And so we kind of have to steel ourselves for it and against it, versus the reality, which is that every day we experience loss on some level in some way, and we survive it.
Yeah, we do. We do. And it's, you know, every single day, you're right. And they're, sometimes they're so small, you can barely feel it. But every day, and you know, you can't get ready for it. You cannot prepare for it. I put this book out there, and I do love the fact that, you know, a child can read this book and it's just a really lovely story, and somewhere in their psyche, they kind of know the process. Mm-hmm. So before something even ever happens, it's a great way to have an objective conversation with a child about, have you ever lost something? Well, I lost my tooth. Oh, yeah, what does that feel like? It's a good way to kind of talk about those kinds of things. In a moment where it's not like you're not spinning out of control.
Absolutely.
But it is important to talk about each of those things, and you know, and not overlook the small ones like you talked about earlier. Those are all such great opportunities to, if there's a way to prepare, it's maybe just in getting the practice in talking and opening them up and getting to know what their thoughts are on things. So every single one of them is an opportunity, and our life really does. I mean, think about it. This book started when I was 14, and, you know, it would not have been what it is today if my teacher would have had it published then.
Gotcha.
Because I changed and I deepened and I grew, and that's what happens in our life. And so, you know, all of these things, whether it's a divorce, whether it's, you know, a grandparent dying or whatever that is, all those things that happen to us as we grow up, they all flavor us. They all change us. They all make us see things differently. They also have great capacity to make us more compassionate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, what a nice way to think about it. They all kind of flavor us. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, there are a couple of things I want to try to touch on before our time is up today. I'm thinking about a parent that I talked with some time ago, and there had been a significant loss in the family, and the parent's concern was that the child seemed to have no reaction to the loss. And the parent was quite concerned that the child was perhaps disturbed or crazy because the child wasn't apparently connecting to the loss. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that when we come back, when your child's reaction to grief is so much different from what you expect. And also, if we have time, I just want to talk a little bit about the constant barrage of loss that we hear about in the news today, and what your thoughts are about how parents can talk to their children about that. So we're going to take a brief break. We've got a full plate when we return, so don't go away, folks. We'll be right back. We return, continuing the conversation with Tiffany Papageorge, who is author of My Yellow Balloon, a lovely, wonderful story about a little boy's loss and his healing from that loss. And it really is a story that spans the ages. Tiffany, before the break, I mentioned a parent that I had worked with some time ago who was concerned that the child wasn't grieving in a normal way. As an adult, should we look for our child to approach the experience of grief in a particular way?
Well, you know, when you think about ourselves, you know, as adults, we all grieve differently, right? So, mm-hmm. You know, that's one thing to keep in mind, and kids are different. Kids cannot, they don't have the same level of, I'm trying to think of the word, they're not capable of staying in grief mm-hmm. like we can. So I remember, I remember I was a grieving kid, and I remember just like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, one minute I was being told I was depressed, and the next minute I was playing, and they were like, oh my God, it's not even hitting her. Kids
right.
can't hold it like we can. They mm-hmm. just can't, and they need moments of just losing it in their imagination. They need moments of not speaking about it. They need, they're processing in a very different way. And once again, I really want to encourage parents out there to not judge it, and to be able to talk with professionals that really can help them understand what their child is going through, and help the child understand what the child is going through. You know, these are very complicated emotions, and they're not ready for them, and none of us are ever ready for them. And so whatever is happening within the psyche of the child at that moment, you know, is, you know, a lot of times they are it's overwhelming, and they're on overload. So it's important to be very gentle, very loving, and very accepting. And if you think that something is alarming, by all means, you know, reach out to those that can really help you. And you cannot imagine the love in these different organizations. Mm. It's profound. It is absolutely profound what these people are doing and how these kids are so nurtured and loved through this process, and the parents are getting loved and nurtured and tools, and you know, it's really, and you make friends that you may have for a lifetime.
Indeed.
Through it. So I would say that. I would say it is, you know, what is normal? You know, all of us are different. Normal is whatever we are and wherever we're at, especially when it comes to something that is so earth and life-changing.
Yeah. What about the sort of the fact of the world in which we live today? We know that for the news, if it bleeds, it leads, for most news stations.
Yeah.
That is unfortunately the case. And if it's bleeding, that means there's a loss somewhere. And, you know, it seems like every time you turn around, either, you know, there's something about a war or unfortunately somebody who's been shot, or it just seems to never go away. So how do you deal with your children around the almost daily bombardment that comes across in certain parts of the media with respect to loss? Do you shield them from it? Do you talk about it? Do you take a break from it? Do you ban all radio, TV, print media, and computers and iPhones and everything from your home? Or what do you do?
Well, I'm a firm believer of never, like, burying yourself in the sand and pretending that it doesn't exist. Because at some point, your kid's going to be a grown-up and they haven't built the calluses that they need to go out into the world and to see what they're going to see. That being said, we don't allow our children to have, like, guns. You know, if they, you know, we... little boys love making guns and using guns, and they did have lightsabers and things like that, I have to say, but I always gave them cameras and said, you want to shoot something, go shoot it with your camera.
Gotcha.
And so maybe I'm kind of on a plane of, you know, being very soft myself. However, I think as parents, you have to kind of go with what you feel mm-hmm. is right. But for me and my family, I definitely feel like we are, as a world, connected. And what happens in Newtown is a part of us, mm-hmm. that we are all on this planet and we are all connected in some way. And one person's pain is my pain too. And that is also about the big word empathy, the big word compassion. And I want my children to be compassionate and empathetic. So, you know, we are, you know, as a family and as they've gotten older, you know, I'm a member of Amnesty International. And so when I write letters, I have them, you know, write letters too. And so we do that together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just yesterday there was news about a school that got shot up in Pakistan, and it really greatly affected me. And so I was reaching out to our local Pakistani community to see if there was anything I could do. And my kids were hearing it and what happened. And so once again, age-appropriate level, what I tell my 12-year-old is not what I tell my 5-year-old.
Right.
And it's not what I tell my 9-year-old. So on an age-appropriate level, I share with them what happened. And as a family, we, you know, sent very good feelings and prayed and said, what can we do? What can we do? And so my kids, you know, drew some pictures and whatnot for the kids there. And I, you know, sent them on to someone here in San Francisco that might be able to get that to them. You know, it's about what, here is what's happening. What do you think as a family we could do?
Mm.
And that to me is really powerful, because then the ill and the bad and the right. devastation in the world, you know, is met with love and creativity. And what is the antidote to devastation and destruction but creativity?
Absolutely. What a wonderful way to approach really such painful things that are, you know, as you and I know, always in the news in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Tiffany, Papa George, we're about to round out our conversation today, and I'm wondering if there are any particular thoughts that you would like to share with parents of very young children, parents of young teens, and perhaps parents of older adolescents as well.
I guess it's, tap into your heart and come to them in a place of love and meet them where they are and create a real honest, loving relationship that can really serve all of you forever, which is, really built on honesty, trust, and that really important word, just, letting that love through. And be real with it. I mean, it's be real with your pain. Be real with it in your own heart and be real with it for your kids to see it and be real with your friends. And, that's as a country, I don't know where we develop this need to hide it and to make everything seem perfect on Facebook and this and that and your Christmas letter. But, life is life. And trust that, even when things aren't so great, that you're loved and supported. I think that's really important. Let's just be real. Let's feel. Let's become deeper together.
Tiffany Papa George, author of My Yellow Balloon, thank you so much for spending time with us today. Tiffany, is there a website for My Yellow Balloon?
Yes, it's myyellowballoon.com.
That's easy enough to remember.
And, yeah.
I noticed that your book is defined as being for children ages 4 to 9. But I got to tell you, I think it's for children ages 4 to 90, because we all experience loss in some kind of way. And wouldn't it be lovely to know that we all had the capacity to have our yellow balloons back?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
I agree with you.
Thank you so much, Tiffany. It's really been delightful today.
Thank you so much. I really, really am so excited to have been on your show.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of Mind Talk. Mind Talk is brought to you daily as an educational public service, and it is not intended to take the place of any work you may choose to do with a licensed medical, mental health, or other professional. Mind Talk is available to you on demand at myndtalk.org. Mind Talk is produced by Jim Brown and 26x2 Communications. If you would like to be in touch with me directly, send me an email to Pamela at mindtalk.org. That's myndtalk.org. And folks, you remember, if it's unacceptable, it's unacceptable. Take care.